The Create and Thrive Podcast, episode 38. What are you going to do differently in 2016? Being proactive and carving out that time for yourself makes a huge amount of difference, and it means that when you do step out into the world, whether that's literal or metaphoric, you actually have the energy and the love and the compassion and the passion to help those people who are contacting you and reaching out to you, to really take care of your customers, to really take care of people who need you for something. I'm Jess Van Den, and this is the Create and Thrive Podcast. A former school teacher, I turned my handmade hobby into a thriving business, and I also teach other creatives how to do the same. My goal is to help you learn how to turn your creative hobby into a thriving, profitable business. So let's get learning. Hey Thrivers, Jess here. Welcome to the show and welcome to the first podcast for 2016. I'm so excited to be here with you for a brand new year of the Create and Thrive Podcast. And I've had a wonderful break. I hope you have too. I just spent seven days at the Woodford Folk Festival near where I live, teaching metal crochet jewellery workshops, which were a big hit again this year. We did it last year, well, the year before last now, and it was so fun to go back and do that again and live in the alternate reality that is Woodford Folk Festival for a week, which was great fun. And then we headed up to the city for New Year's Eve. We have some dear friends who live in a high rise, so we got to take advantage of their views and watch the fireworks. And then we stayed on and did a total nerd thing, which was we watched all of the Star Wars movies 1 through 6, and then we finally went and saw the new one, number 7, at the cinema, which was fantastic. Although I don't think I'll be doing that again anytime soon. That was quite the marathon, but it was a good way to finish out the little holiday break that we had, and we're now back to work. Everything's full systems go here at Ethereal and Create and Thrive headquarters for a brand new year. Just a quick few bits of news before I forget. The first thing that's happening this year is not actually happening via me, but I am part of it. It's actually the Etsy Resolution Program for 2016. Some of you who've been around for a while may remember that last year, here in Australia, I was invited by Etsy Australia to co-teach the Etsy Resolution Program alongside Claire Bowditch, and it was a 4-week free program for new Etsy sellers, or those of you who may have opened a shop and kind of muddled along but haven't really gotten going. So it's run by Etsy, and it was really fantastic. We had over 3,000 Australians take part, and it was such a success that Etsy decided to take it international. And this year, they're running the program across 8 countries, which is fantastic. And they invited me back to be a mentor to the Australians in the program this time, and I very happily accepted that. I'm actually not alone in that job. I'm the mentor, one of 4 mentors for the Australian team, and every country has its own mentors and its own dedicated Facebook group. So, you know, you can talk about things that affect you locally and talk about your local postage issues and stuff like that, which is kind of cool. So here in Australia, my fellow mentors are Laurie Millier of Yellow Tree, Adam Jellick of My Goals, and Christy Tull from Fox and Ramona. I'm looking forward to getting to know them over the next little while. The program doesn't kick off till the end of January, but you can register now and do the pre-program stuff. So I'll put a link to it in the show notes for this episode. So head over to createandthrive.com and look for episode 38, and you can get a link to go over and join us in Etsy Resolution. It's free, run by Etsy. It's 4 lessons over 4 weeks. And, if you're just getting started with selling online, I'd recommend you give it a go. It just covers the basics of things like product photography, marketing, branding, and how to get found by customers as well. On that note, I'm also running my program for new online sellers, Set Up Shop, in February. These 2 programs will go together really well. I go into huge amount of detail in my program. It's basically a lesson a day. So the two things will definitely help you out. If you want to do both programs, that'll work really nicely. Okay, so that's quite exciting. So Etsy Resolution, go try it out. Go sign up. Head over to the show notes and there's a link there for you if you're interested. Go see, I think the countries that they're running it in are Australia, Canada, France, Germany, Hong Kong, Malaysia, Singapore, and the United Kingdom. I believe, don't quote me on this, just, you know, if you're not sure, don't ask me, ask Etsy. If your country's not there, you can probably still sign up and join in, maybe in your closest Facebook group or something like that, but it just won't be tailored specifically for you in your country. So yeah, but you know, I'm sure that they won't mind if you sign up and take the lessons, even if it's not being run specifically for you in your country. So enough about that. I wanted to today talk to you about 2015, actually. I think it's really important. You know, often with the, you know, the new year dawning, we get all excited. And we might, you might be the sort of person who does resolutions, or you might just like to kind of forget the year that's gone and really plow ahead looking into the future. But I actually think it's really important to take a little bit of time to reflect. Because if we don't take time to look back and actually analyze what we've done in the past, we end up making the same mistakes in the future, or we end up just not doing the things that we really want to do because we keep ignoring them or they keep slipping by the wayside. So today I just wanted to take you through a bit of a reflection process on 2015 so that you can get clear on the kind of what worked and what didn't last year and so forth. So let's work through a couple of questions that I want you to sit down and ask yourself. While you're listening to this podcast, if you're, you know, if you're in the right circumstances, you might want to pause it after I ask each question and actually write down your answers. Or you might just want to listen through the whole thing and think them through. I'm not going to tell you the best way to do this because it's going to be different for everybody. Just reflecting mentally might be enough for you, or you might actually really want to write everything down and analyze it more deeply. Everybody's different. So let's go through a couple of things to reflect on last year. So the idea of this is to look at the things that went really well and analyze why they went well, and to look at the things that didn't go well and analyze why they didn't go well. And that's why the title of this is, what are you going to do differently in 2016? So obviously the things that went well, you want to look at why it worked and bring those things forward into the new year. And the things that didn't work well, probably the key here, how are you going to change them? Like, if something didn't work, why didn't it work? Is it something within you? Was it something external? Is that something you can control? Now, obviously, guys, life throws us all curveballs. 2015 might have been a great year for you, or it might not have been such a great year, or it might have been a mix. It was a bit of a mix for me. Overall, it was a bloody brilliant year. I had a really great year business-wise. Create and Thrive, I'm so happy with everything. You know, I launched two new things last year, this podcast and the Thriver Circle, and both of them have been going wonderfully. Ethereal, everything was going wonderfully there. And mostly I had a wonderful year, but I actually suffered from some anxiety last year for a couple of months, and that was really difficult because it's something that hasn't happened to me in a very long time, and I usually am a very even-keeled person. There's a history of mental illness, you know, depression and anxiety in my family, so I have always been very aware of the possibility of that happening. But this time it just hit me out of the blue and it kind of blindsided me. And it took me time to get my habits back in place, to get myself on a more of an even keel. So that was my challenge for 2015. And I've reflected on, you know, how that happened. You know, it happened when we were traveling and I was totally out of my usual routine, out of my usual safe space. Everything was different. And I'm the sort of person who, while I'm quite flexible, I also work really well with habit and routine, and those things are really important to me. So, you know, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about, thinking about in business, but also your personal life, guys, because these two things are not separate. Your personal life and your business are not, you know, in two separate compartments. They influence and and each other, and what happens in one will influence what happens in the other. So it's important to not only look back on the your business, but also your personal life and what worked, what habits worked, and what habits didn't. And you'll know that, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, I've got episodes in here, you know, about self-care, morning routines, how to reduce stress. All of that stuff is vital, and it really helps you to have the best business you can by having the best life you can. So let's reflect back. Let's first of all ask the question, what worked in 2015? What just worked? What was really good? What flowed? What made you feel really positive? What was kind of the highlight? For me, what worked in 2015 was definitely launching this podcast. I've absolutely adored bringing this podcast to you every week. It's been fantastic. I really, really enjoy podcasting. So thank you for being here and listening to me ramble on. Hopefully, you know, you are finding it useful and helpful. And the second thing that really worked well for me what worked for me really well last year was the Thriver Circle. And I launched that in January last year after kind of having it in the back of my mind for, to be honest, probably a year or two beforehand. And I was kind of caught in that, I'm not quite ready trap. But I just said, you know what? I want this. I want to make this happen. I want to create this space, and I'm just going to do it. And so I did. I just did it and put it out there. And I'm so very, very glad that I did, because it's been such a joy to be part of that community, to be, you know that I've brought that group of people together and that they've all benefited so much, and to see the growth in some of the members who've been with us from the beginning has been fantastic. You know, there are people who when they joined last January were just kind of getting their feet under them when it came to their businesses, and by the end of the year they've had wholesale accounts and had bumper Christmas sales, and yeah, it's just so great to see the success and the you know, the journeys that people have been on. And everybody's journey's been different. Some people have, you know, had hardship and they've shared that with us, and we've been able to support them through that. You know, we've been able to congratulate each other on our successes. I've been able to teach so much through that group. You know, I do monthly workshops and run calls and help people one-on-one in the calls. And yeah, it's just been, it's been a joy, and it's, you know, it's grown so quickly. It's quite phenomenal how many people have put their trust in me and joined that group. And so I wanted to say thank you to everybody who's there and who's been there in the past. And yeah, that's the thing I'm probably the most happy and proud of from 2015 is the Thriver Circle. And why do these things work? Okay, so we want to actually think about the why as well. The podcast, why does it work? Well, for me, I guess being, you know, an ex-teacher, and I actually love public speaking. I know, such a weirdo. But I only love it when it's something I know, because it's easy to speak in front of people when it's something you are comfortable with, that you know about. And for me, that's what this podcast is. It's my opportunity to speak about the things that I am passionate about, the things that I know about, so that I can hopefully help you in your journey. And that's why it's worked for me, because it's been a natural, I guess, a natural progression from my love of speaking. And, you know, having it, dedicating to do it, you know, really saying I'm going to do it once a week, and I haven't, except for last week when it was holidays, I haven't missed a week, and that's been really quite rewarding as well, to just, you know, stick to something for that amount of time, that routine. It's a good thing when it's a positive one, a positive habit. Why has the Thriver Circle worked? Well, I think there's a lot of elements there. I think it's worked because it's affordable. I think it's worked because it's fulfilling a need that people in our community really deeply feel, which is to connect with others who understand them. I think it's worked because I've shared useful, practical information and that's actually really helped people move their businesses forward. Yeah, there's a lot of other reasons there, but, you know, it just, I think it was the right place at the right time, and, you know, it came along when I already had a wonderful community around me, so it was kind of a no-brainer to create that space for that community, for you. So that's what worked. So think about, you know, in your own business, what worked. And in your life as well, you know, what's worked really well for me this year is really trying to stick to that morning routine. It makes a big difference to me. Deciding to dedicate a couple of hours first thing in the day to me rather than jumping straight into work, because that never, it never sat well with me, because I always felt like I was neglecting myself to focus on the needs of others. And you really need to take care of yourself first before you can give. You need to fill your own well before you can give water to others. So by dedicating time every morning to, you know, read, to exercise, to spend time with Nick, and just relax and kind of get my personal self and my mind and body taken care of before I sat down to work and take care of other people has worked really, really well for me. And that's been a big change, really sticking to that, you know, not looking at my emails first thing in the morning. they can wait. They can wait an extra 2 hours or 3 hours. It's not going to be the end of the world. People understand that you're not always available. And if they don't, that's their problem, not yours. You know, this super connected world that we live in is so wonderful, but it's also a really big danger that we just constantly, you know, constantly react to other people and other people's demands rather than being proactive and spending the time taking care of ourselves. Being proactive and carving out that time for yourself makes a huge amount of difference, and it means that when you do step out into the world, whether that's literal or metaphoric, you actually have the energy and the love and the compassion and the, you know, the passion to help those people who are contacting you and reaching out to you, to really take care of your customers, to really take care of people who need you for something. So that's been a big thing for me. So let's look at what didn't work in 2015. What didn't work well for you in your business or your life? What didn't work well for me was I didn't make anywhere near as many new designs for Ethereal as I would have liked to. You know, I kind of set, you know, deadlines in place for myself, you know, oh, I'm going to make this many new designs by this date, and it just didn't happen. And why didn't it happen? It didn't happen because my priorities were elsewhere, to be honest. Like, I was kidding myself that my priorities were on new designs, when really my priorities were on other things. And that's okay. You know, I like I said, I launched the podcast, I launched Thrive a Circle. I was really dedicated to making those two things work really well. We had enough orders. You know, we're kind of at the point in Ethereal now that we're at a nice balance point. You know, we don't want to expand past Nick and I making the orders, so there's only so much we can actually handle. So, you know, we were actually for most of the year at a really comfortable level of orders. And so the motivation to really launch new designs wasn't there, because I was happy with the level of things we were at. So, you know, that's looking back and analyzing why that plan didn't work. And I want you to do the same thing. Think about the things that didn't work. Maybe you launched something and it fell flat. Maybe you wanted to do something but it didn't happen. And that's my next question, is actually, what did you want to do but didn't do? So these two things kind of obviously are interrelated. What didn't work is one thing, but also, what did you want to do but didn't do, and why? Is it because you thought you wanted to do it, but you actually didn't want to do it? There's this weird thing that we do, is that we go, oh, this would be a really good thing to do, and I should do this, but really underneath we're going, nah, I really don't want to do that, or I really don't care about that, or I really don't think that's going to make that much of a difference, so why should I dedicate the time to it that it's going to take? So getting really honest with yourself about that is important. What did you want to do but didn't do? For me, it was a website overhaul for Ethereal. I would like to update the website we have with a new shopping cart and probably a new design. And it just didn't happen last year because of everything else that was going on. I mean, we had 3 months overseas. We also traveled for another month. It wasn't the right time because I didn't have time to do that on top of everything else that we had to do. And I wasn't willing to put myself on the line and work, you know, late nights and stuff like that to make it happen when I really don't think it's going to increase our sales so much. It's just a branding thing that I do want to bring to fruition at some stage. And this is the thing, guys, you know, when you look at your business long term, you have to make these sort of decisions. You have to go, well, this is something I want to do, but is it even going to happen this year? Or is it, you know, is it important but not urgent or whatever? Is it something that can wait till next year? Because you can only do so much without driving yourself into the ground. And if you're looking at your business as a long-term prospect, you don't need to do everything now. Because if you try to do everything right now, you'll just burn yourself out and it will all fall apart. So really thinking, okay, well, this year my priorities are what? And making a list. And I'm actually teaching a whole bunch of this stuff in the Thriver Circle. I actually developed this thing called the Top 3 Priorities Method, which I'm teaching them, and I'm, you know, we're going to actually do it, a lot of it, in our boot camp this year. But it's the method I use to organize myself. And so it's all about picking 3 priorities, whether that be on a yearly basis, a monthly basis, a weekly basis, or a daily basis, and, you know, kind of breaking things down. So you pick a priority, and then you break down the steps you need to get to that, and then you break that down again until you have little actionable steps. So when it comes to a big project like a website overhaul, especially if you're doing it yourself, you know it's going to be one of your major projects for at least a 6-month period or 3-month period, depending on your level of skill and what you actually want to do. So, you know, it's putting those things in place, looking at the year ahead and going, where can I fit that in? This year, I'm going to be really honest with myself, because we're planning on building a house. Never done that before, but I get the impression it's a lot of work. We're not actually building it. We're hiring someone to build it, but we still have to do all of the planning and all of the picking of designs and keeping an eye on it. So, you know, I'm really aware that that's probably going to take up a lot of my time. I'm also, very excitingly, signed up to do my yoga teacher training, my initial 200-hour yoga teacher training, which starts at the end of February and goes for 6 months. So with those two things going on in the rest of my life on top of my business, I know that this is not the year to institute any major changes in my businesses. And that's why I don't actually have any, well, I do have one new thing planned for Create and Thrive. There's a new self-study course coming in a couple of months. But apart from that, so far, I don't have any big projects planned. My aim for this year is a consolidation year. It's to really put my effort into building the things I've already created. So building this podcast, building the Thriver Circle, keeping Ethereal at the level it is, maintaining that, keeping new people coming in, because, you know, it's all going really well. So for me, my focus this year on the business is actually maintenance and slow growth. I'm not the sort of person who believes in growth for the sake of growth. It has to be growth for a purpose. And my focus, you know, because I know my focus is going to be outside of the business in the other things that I'm doing. So in order to not, again, burn myself out, I can't overdo things. So, yeah, I've got a lot going on this year. And you may be in the same position, you know. Think about last year. What did you do but didn't? Okay, was there a good reason for it? Or were you just being lazy? Because let's be honest, sometimes we are. But if it's something that's really important, look towards this year then. Drag it forward and go, okay, does this really matter? Can I make space for it? And if you can make space for it, do it and put it in your calendar and make it happen. Even if it's not this year, like seriously, looking forward to, okay, well, this year I've got to do this, this, and this. Next year I'm going to do this, that, and that. But if it's something that you know, you're thinking, oh, it'd be nice to do, but you haven't done it, do you really need to do it? Really be honest with yourself and go, is this something that's really necessary, or am I just saying I should do it because somewhere in my head I've got this idea that it's necessary, or someone's told me it's necessary, but I don't really deep down believe it is. So this kind of leads on to the next question. And this is now moving a little bit towards the new year. What are your must-dos? So thinking about what, you know, what worked and what didn't last year, look towards the new year and go, what are my must-dos for this year? What are the things that are really important that must be done? For me, that is, you know, my monthly work with the Thriver Circle, my podcasts with you guys, really being an absolute fantastic person to my customers, you know, my jewelry customers, making sure that I communicate really well with them, that I fulfill their needs, that I help them out as much as I can, that we keep making top quality, beautiful work. You know, again, like I said, this is a consolidation year for me, so those are my must-dos in my business. In my personal life, my must-dos are, you know, obviously really focus on my teacher training and become the best teacher I can possibly be, yoga teacher I can possibly be. Although I'm not actually planning on, I'm not planning on making that a full-time thing. So it's just, I'm doing it more for myself than anything. And so that into the future I can teach yoga if I want to, because as you've probably figured out by now, I love to teach the things I'm passionate about. So I want to do it properly. And obviously a must-do for us is all the stuff that has to do with the house. And that's going to be a really long project. It's probably not even going to be done this year. It might even go into next year. So my must-do with that is to be patient, because I'm the sort of person who just wants things done and done now. And I know that that's not realistic when it comes to building a house. A lot of you who've done it are probably like nodding your heads right now going, you're going to learn to be patient. especially as I'm not going to be the project manager, which I'm going to struggle with. But there's only so much one person can do, so that's going to be someone else's responsibility. So those are my must-dos. Yours are going to be whatever they are. Think about them. Think about the must-dos for this year and write them down. Really, this is one thing I think would be really useful for you to write down and have kind of in front of you. Now, talking about, you know, patience and stuff, this next question is a little bit deeper, and it is, what are your limiting beliefs? I'll say that again. What are your limiting beliefs? We all have them. Look back on 2015 and look at, you know, what was holding you back from the things you really wanted to do. Do you hold limiting beliefs about yourself or your capabilities? Or do you have negative thoughts? I'm guessing the answer is yes, because pretty much, you know, 100% of the human population has negative thoughts and limiting beliefs. But do you actually know what they are? Have you actually ever analyzed them? Or do you just kind of, they just kind of sit there festering? You know, what is that negative self-talk? You know, what are the negative things you say to yourself that aren't necessarily true? What are the beliefs you have about yourself that perhaps held you back in 2015 from doing the things that you really wanted to do? Did you have a limiting belief that you didn't actually deserve to be successful? That you weren't skilled enough or knowledgeable enough or experienced enough? Did you feel like maybe you're a bit of a fraud, that, you know, that a business isn't something you could really do? This might sound harsh, but I'm putting these things out there because they're things that I've felt over the years myself, and pretty much everybody in business has thought this. Okay, you are not alone if you've had those sorts of thoughts. It's perfectly natural and perfectly normal to doubt ourselves. And the thing you have to do with those sort of beliefs is just counter them. You know, you really need to face them head on and go, okay, is this true? Like, it might be actually true that you don't have the knowledge or experience to do this yet. And if that's the case, what do you need to learn, or what practice do you need to get so that you can get to that point where you actually have the confidence in your own abilities and make it happen? You know, don't just go, oh, it's, you know, I'm never going to be good enough. I'm never going to be able to figure it out. Yes, you can, and yes, you will be. So, but I'm guessing probably most of you, it's a false limiting belief. You know, you're probably very skilled at your craft. You're probably very experienced and knowledgeable about it. You may not know, you know, the business side of things. Neither did I when I started. I had no idea. The only business education I had before I started Ethereal was I happened to work as a manager of a maths and English tuition centre for 2 years, and they actually, you know, sent me to a couple of conferences where they talked a bit about sales skills and marketing skills and stuff, and I had to learn on the job. You know, I had to learn how to sell, I had to learn how to follow up with customers and do customer service and stuff I had no idea about. And I started Ethereal, I think, October in the year that I started that job in January. So, you know, I'd only had maybe, what, 6-7 months of any sort of business experience at all, and in a completely different field, before I started this business. And I just learnt as I went. You know, I tried things, I read books, I read blogs, I listened. Not back then, I didn't listen to podcasts, but I have ever since. You know, and I talked to other people in the industry, you know, other makers in business, and I learnt until I was confident in what I was doing when it came to the business side of things. And now I love it, and I love teaching business skills to other people, especially creatives, because, you know, melding those two things together, your creative skills and your business skills, can just make your life completely different and can change your life. And if you've never thought of it this way before, I want you to think about this for a second. Business is extremely creative. Okay, to be a good business person, you actually need to be very creative. You need to be coming up with new ideas. You need to be experimenting with new things all the time. You're probably creating, you know, images, visual marketing. You're creating copy, so you're writing. It's all creative. It's not boring and staid like I used to think it was, especially when it comes to us, because we're, you know, our business is something we've created to support our craft, and the two things are this one beautiful entity that we create to put out there into the world and connect with our ideal customer. So find out what those limiting thoughts and beliefs are, face them head on, even write them down and write down, you know, the opposite, and start switching your mindset from believing those beliefs to saying, you know what, that's rubbish. That's not actually true. I can do this. I do have the knowledge. I do have the skills. I shouldn't let the fear of failure stop me, because everybody fails all the time, and that's okay. I fail quite regularly, you know, and that's okay, because if you don't try, you fail 100% of the time, don't you? Right? If you don't try, failure is 100% guaranteed. If you do try, at least you've got some sort of chance of succeeding, right? So just try. What's the worst that can happen? Yeah, so you fail. So what? Move on. Do the next thing. It's okay. There's always something else to try. There's always a new path to go down. There's always another mountain to climb up. It's never the end. So those are some, you know, questions to go through. I'm just going to repeat them quickly. What worked? What didn't? What did you want to do but didn't do? What are your must-dos for this year? What are your limiting beliefs? And finally, to end on a high note, what are you most excited about this year? Like, hopefully you're in that, like, it's a new year. Woohoo, so many new possibilities. 12 new months stretching out in front of you. One thing that I love to do, it's a bit, yeah, a whole lot nerdy, but whatever, it's fun. Every year, in about December, I probably should have told you guys about this a few weeks ago, sorry about that, is I get a wall calendar, a whole yearly planner. So I've done this for years now. So it's a yearly planner, whole year, on the wall. It's I get one that's like a dry erase, so you can use whiteboard markers on it in different colours. Woo! Stationary nerds, take note. And I actually have that on my wall, and that is kind of my rock for the year. I'm looking at the one I have now. I've actually already planned out the entire year of courses for Create and Thrive. I've put my dates for all my yoga teacher training on there. This is all in different colours, obviously. I've put the dates for all the Thriver Circle membership openings for the year. So it's all planned, all of these things for the entire year. All the dates are there already, because I feel much calmer when I know what's happening. I can look at my year and go, okay, well, as a whole, and go, what can I fit in where? What do I have the time for where? Make sure I don't overlap anything important, like, you know, a launch for a program while I'm doing a weekend yoga training. That would be stupid, because you can't focus on either. So, you know, that is a really great way to actually, you know, get an idea of the whole year ahead of you. You know, look at the big shows or markets you want to do. Put them on the calendar, even if you haven't gotten into them, okay? Just put them on there so that you know when they are, and that if you do get in, how to, you know, you can work around them. Any other big events, you know, put, depending on what you sell, you might want to put Mother's Day on there. You might want to put Valentine's Day on there, Father's Day, you know, stuff like that, that's actually dates that are going to be important for your business, and then work backwards. So for example, if you want to be selling stuff for Mother's Day or Father's Day, you know you're going to have the stuff sold a few weeks beforehand. So you need to work backwards and go, okay, well, this is the date I need to do my marketing for that particular event. And, you know, that gets you all nice and organized for the year. So segue aside, what are you most excited about this year? What do you really want to achieve? What's got you pumped up, fired up? What's your big goal for the year? What is it you want to do? So really think about that. Write it down. Plaster it on your wall. Put it in your phone. Whatever. Shout it from the rooftops. Tell everyone your big dreams for this year. Or hey, keep it to yourself. Everybody's different. Some people like to keep things close. Some people like to have their own little secret dreams that they have in their heart and only tell people once they've achieved them, and that's okay too. There's no right and wrong here. It's just what works for you. So yeah, what are you excited about? Well, I'm obviously excited about building a house. I'm excited about my yoga teacher training. I'm excited about Etsy resolution. I'm excited about all of the courses I've managed to schedule into this year. Woohoo! Because we're not going away for any long trips this year, so I can run lots of courses and help lots of people. I'm excited about growing the Thriver Circle. I'm excited about actually creating some new designs for Ethereal. I've got a few earring and necklace designs that I've been wanting to try, and I'm actually going to carve out the time to do them. And yeah, lots of stuff. I'm excited about lots of stuff. So it's going to be an awesome year. I'm also excited about the boot camp in Thriver Circle that we're running, the Handmade Business Boot Camp, which starts next week. Circle members, I hope you're ready for it. It's going to be good fun. And we're going to be going through a lot of these processes, you know, a lot of this thinking about what you really want for your business, getting your planning done, getting your marketing planning done. It's going to be great. And it's going to get you, you know, really on a good track for 2016. 2016, my goodness, how did that happen? Oh, it'll be 2020 before we know it, and we'll be into a new decade. Okay, guys, I think I'm going to wrap it up for this week. Thank you so much for being here and listening. Remember, head on over to the blog, createandthrive.com. Look for episode 38 for the show notes and anything, links and stuff that I've talked about in this episode. And if you're not already on the mailing list, do sign up to get access to the mailing list. There's a lot of great stuff that I send out. Every week I send out a link to the podcast and a link to what's been happening on the blog. I let you know about, you know, upcoming courses and when the Thriver Circle is going to be open for registration, all of those sorts of things. And you get access to the Handmade Biz Toolkit, which is a page with lots of PDFs and ebooks and stuff that are free that I've created over the years. But you can only get access to them if you are a member of a subscriber to the mailing list. So you can head on over, look for the green envelope on the side of the blog, and you can pop your email address in there and join us and get access to the Handmade Biz Toolkit for free. Okay, well, let's finish up for this week. I'm so happy to be here with you for a new year, one episode per week on a Thursday. If you're not already subscribed, you can subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher or iTunes. Or again, if you sign up to the mailing list, I'll send you an email each week and you can listen to it or download it off the blog. I hope you have had a fantastic break. I hope you're raring to go for the new year. Thank you so much for being here with me for a brand new year. I'm Jess Van Den. This is the Create and Thrive podcast, and I'll talk to you next week. Bye for now.